Welcome, everyone, to the only official podcast on the internet. Today, we have the special guest, pro ex-pro league player, Marcus Dyrus, also a personal friend of mine whom I've carried through many a league game. And he was kind enough to show his face around these parts in the presence of perhaps one of the best League of Legends players, Dr. Zalost. How are you doing, Marcus?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Dyrus, glad to have you.
Not too bad. Yeah. Thank you for coming on to this illustrious show.
Thanks for having me.
All right. So, Charlie, I know that you like to fire out like a loose cannon if you want to pop him the first question. If not, I have about 700 ready to go.
I'll save you from Andrew's horrible questions, and I'll pop one out then. So I think the most pressing thing I'd like to know about pro gaming is what the fuck is it about? Like, I've always imagined, like, you were there pretty much from the genesis of esports, when it really started to take off, because now a lot of people know about it. League of Legends is huge. Millions of people watch it. But you were there from the start. How has it kind of changed, in your opinion?
First, it started off where I wasn't even on TSM, but I was on the owners of TSM's brothers team, which was Epic Gamer. And how we practiced for events is we didn't practice. We would show up for the event and just get second place every time. After a while, our team lost motivation. And then, everyone's just doing their own thing. They didn't really take everything seriously. And then TSM dropped their top laner. Well, their top laner decided that he wanted to play solo queue instead of practice, like in scrimmages and such. And so that's when I joined TSM. And back in the day, you would practice for maybe, I think it was just varies a lot, because there was really no set amount of time you're supposed to practice. There's no standard back then. So sometimes you'd practice for like half a day, the whole day, I don't know, maybe a couple of hours, maybe there's no practice at all. But the most of the practice that you would get would be from solo queue. And as time went on and as esports evolved, practice started to become more scheduled and a lot more organized. So you would have like scrim blocks. What was that?
I said a lot more effort went into like, you know, getting those scheduling down. The practicing down.
As time went on, it became more competitive. There's more aspects, like in season 3, coaches were implemented, and then analysts came into the scene. You would still wouldn't like increase the amount of practice done. I think it's a lot different for other regions, but for America, you would basically be playing solo queue all day until practice happened. It wouldn't necessarily be long practice, like maybe 6 to 8 hours is probably the longest scrim practice that you'd ever get, which is you get breaks in between, of course. And so it wasn't really, I mean, maybe it sounds bad, I guess, but normally players would be playing solo queue for at a minimum of 8 hours a day. It can go up to like 14 or 16 hours, depending on the player. You cannot play any less than 8 hours, because if you do, you just get bad at the game by not playing it.
That's what I always told Charlie, but he never listened.
Well, I was going to say, solo queue.
He was always, I'm tired, I'm sleepy, Kai, I haven't eaten in 3 days, Kaya. Fucking amateur.
It's fair though, because solo queue doesn't translate over to like professional play. Like, I can pound underage undilated anus in solo queue all day and night, but that doesn't mean I'm ready for the big dogs league. That takes like organized scrims.
Dogs league. Well, Dyrus, we brought you in as a consultant to confirm what I've always suspected. I'm not bad at the game. The game is rigged, right?
It's the teammates who are bad.
To diminish your whatever your area of expertise, but it's like 100% luck, right? You're just lucky.
There is luck involved, but I wouldn't say 100%.
That's all I need.
Cut it from there, Jackson. Luck is involved.
Thank you for listening to this episode. We're done.
That's honestly all I needed, because I get so sick and tired of people who love the pro gaming scene act like it's this exact science with no random involved.
Oh, thank no, there's, you. There's no, there's way too many factors to even count. But there are some main factors that do influence all those other factors, and one of that is the amount of games that you play. There are some players who, let's say at the start of the season, it'll be like maybe a couple months in, the average amount of games would be like 100 or 200. But then there'll be that one player who just nonstop plays the game. They don't even have to be good. They just get like, I don't know, 1,000 games in compared to the 200 games because they just are playing the game over and over. At the very start of the season, there's a lot of luck involved. So if you get rank one in the first 3 months and then you see all these Reddit threads, oh, I'm rank one, ask me anything. You know, it's just like they played a lot. They got a little lucky with their teammates. And it usually evens out later because the people that are really good at the game are the ones that aren't only just good mechanically, but adapt to the patch changes really quickly. And sometimes you'll see random people on top because of, you know, I don't know, the one trick a champion, and it's like, oh, I deserved rank one all along, but then their champion just gets buffed. So it really, really varies. Like, if you know any personalities in League that are one tricks and they just like get to like super high elo, it's probably because their champion got buffed. So it really, really depends usually.
That was always the problem I had when I reached rank one, too. They'd start nerfing my champions and shit like that.
Yeah, when I was Diamond Plat, top tier rankings, rolling around playing literally the worst ranked champs at the time, I'd just wait for the patch notes and see who was the worst and roll them and get all these ranks. But I was tired of all these one champion players just coming out and getting lucky with the buffs, you know what I mean? It's an upsetting time in gaming.
I think I was just attack B.
Yeah, good knife skins and such. I think it's worth noting, like, right off the bat, the only two people of the podcast who've seriously played League were Kai and I.
nearly tore
our friendship apart.
Yeah, it is one of those games.
So the way Charlie, I dealt with patches is I dropped the game.
So, Charlie, you're discounting the 2 years in a row that I played it?
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought you only played Jax for like a month or something.
No, when it was first really getting popular, I was on there for about a year and a half, 2 years, on and off. Yeah, and then I quit it for good when I realized what I was doing with my life.
I still think it's a fantastic game. It's just, it's one of those really, really toxic, or can be really toxic environments, like... You could go on with your best friend. Like, Kai and I, we'll hold hands in public all day and all night, but we go on there. We're at each other's throats. He used to main Tarek Papa T, as he called him back in that day. And I'd be very upset with some of his plays, and it'd make me want to remove him and stop talking to him.
You were angry because I was able to solo anyone on their team.
Yeah.
Reliving the glory days.
Kaya would walk in the middle of the field and just type in chat, "Let's go right now," and somehow just win every single game on his own.
If only that were the case. Andrew, you wanted to pop a couple questions.
Oh, man, I have a billion questions. So, Dyrus, as a serial arsonist, why did you almost burn down TSM's house?
Basically, what happened was back in the day, I mean, I'm sure you guys all have encountered this problem. When you get too many friend requests and there's no clear all button, you kind of just... I downloaded an auto clicker because I had to click decline so much and there's only so many people you could have on your friends list. Mm-hmm. And so when I went to the microwave, put in the hungry man lunch or the dinner, the frozen dinner, instead of 4 minutes, I clicked it for 40 and it didn't register in my brain that it went for 40. I thought it was four. So I just quickly put four, press start. And I walked up to take a quick shower. It's like, oh, it'll only take me a couple of minutes to take a quick shower and then play some solo queue. And as I'm in the shower, I hear burning and it's like, oh, shit. So I run down.
You're burning?
Yeah. X-Men? No, I mean, I'm sorry.
His teammates in the home were screaming, burning! Burning! We're burning, Dyrus! Why did you murder us?
Sound of orphans.
I smell, like, the smell of burnt, like, you know what that smells like. And so I ran down with the towel and I was like, oh shit. And I stopped the microwave and it was just smoking everywhere. And we had to call the fire department. And yeah, it was a fire hazard slash health hazard. So
So basically, long story short, all the fans actually nearly burned down your house. It wasn't your fault.
Yeah. You motherfuckers out there who are sending man friend requests trying to be his pal and play video games with him. That's, you almost murdered this man.
Sometimes you don't always see the kind of impact your actions have, but I think now is a pretty clear case. I hope you feel very disappointed in your actions.
Yeah, if we go
send those friend requests to me instead.
If we go by solo queue logic, then yeah, sure.
Well, fuck, that takes my another question, because I have a list here of some of your solo queue IDs, and one of them is 1-800-MICROWAVE, and I guess now I've been filled in as to where you got that one from.
You can cross that off of page 5 of your list of questions.
I got a Twitch emote,
Andrew
too.
Andrew can sleep now.
My job on the podcast is done. Finally. We've worked up to this point after, what, 30 episodes?
Yeah, we made it.
I actually have a Twitch emote that's like twice as big as regular Twitch emotes, because it's like back in the day, Twitch let you get emotes that were pretty big, and so it's just like a giant microwave across the screen on the Twitch chat.
That was cool. Actually,
the rest of us have to use 5 pixels. Yeah. Thanks.
We have like one tiny Hershey stain on an underwear for it.
And they looked at it and went, that kind of looks like a man smiling. You're going to have to redo that.
Yeah. I know about that.
That brings me to another question real quick. And I know I'm cutting you off, Charlie, but
it's fine,
deal with it. Dyrus, be honest, how do you feel about the whole industry being turned into Super Weenie Hut Jr., what with the toxicity and all that, where you're not even allowed to shit talk anymore?
Oh, sorry, can you repeat the first part of that?
the important part of the question. He wanted to clarify which Weenie Hut you were talking about.
The Super Junior one. Well, I'm just talking about this stuff. Like, back in the day, even when Charlie and I were playing Riot's games, was very particular about their pro players not being allowed to do the least amount of shit talking or insulting. And these days you see it in other games too, where the developer himself will come out and cry and ban people if they say something mean. How do you feel about that whole thing?
I haven't seen any cases recently, but as for toxicity, I have like videos of where I said back in closed beta where it's like, I want to cut this guy's throat out or something. And that's something I would never, ever say in my, today. But when I was younger, I was very energetic and think, I mean, I could link you the video later, but basically the closest thing I've gotten to is I rage quit on stream once, and then they banned me for a day, and they said that, well, actually, no, I don't think I got banned. They said I got one warning, and if I get 3 warnings, I get permabanned from competitive play. And so that was the closest thing for me.
That's the toughest stuff.
Wait, for rage quitting?
That
sounds like horse shit to me. If you're that upset, I feel the most appropriate thing to do is to stop playing. Even if you fuck your team over, it's like, I'd rather do that than have people be toxic or throw games or any of that by fucking with people.
The big problem was
that honor, don't you?
I want to hear what
Riot Games honor badges.
the problem with it was that it's because I was streaming, and I forget the number, but back in the day I used to get usually average around 10 or 20k viewers, and so I would be setting an example that it's okay to rage quit, which is not what they want. But if it was off stream, they probably wouldn't have cared as much. It's just they don't like it when stuff like that happens.
That sounds like one of the most fucking targeted instances of bullshit I've heard in my life. Like if you get that upset at the game, like I get minor quips here and there or kind of getting frumpy, whatever. But if you're that upset that it's affecting you as a person, I believe the appropriate response is to stop playing for a while. It sucks that you're quitting on your team, but I mean, if you're that level of mad, what is the more appropriate response? Like, what the fuck?
I understand what you're saying. I'm just saying that I've played, like, at that time, I was in like 3 to 4 years into the game, and it's one of those things where I just quit that game and then I try to play the next game. You know, it's not like one of those things where it's just like the entire, like, league related. When I was a pro, I have to play and practice. I mean, I should take breaks, but when I'm streaming, My idea was that, okay, I'm just going to log on to a different account and I'm just done with that game. Instead of leagues pissing me off, I want to take a break from it. But it was like, this game sucks, I want to move on to the next one.
Yeah, so, that's how I used to feel about cooking until I found Blue Apron.
Fuck, you stole it from me.
Yeah,
sorry, I stole your thunder there. Today I've got the Blue Apron crown.
Oh, he's got it. He's wearing the apron.
And it's blue, bitch. So speaking of aprons that are blue and also quitting on cooking, I can't cook for shit, but Blue Apron, he lays it out for my dumbass, and even I can succeed in that area. Andrew, why don't you tell him a little about it since you were so eager to hop on that train?
I mean, Blue Apron is the number one, not the number two, four, or even the number seven fresh ingredient and recipe delivery service in the country. Their mission is to make incredible home cooking accessible to everyone, including people like Charlie. And that's a monumentous achievement that they are succeeding at.
You mean tiny people?
Yeah, even yes. The smallest of men.
Charlie looks at the top shelf and goes, damn it, I need the pepper. This is impossible.
I'll call Blue Apron and have him send me some over at eye level.
They send you a strong wrestler who picks you up on his beefy arms. God damn it. Look, let's just cut the brass tacks here. Blue Apron established partnerships with over 150 local farms, fisheries, and ranchers across the United States to get you things such as seafood that is sourced sustainably under standards developed in partnership with the Monterey Bay Aquarium Seafood Watch, and beef, chicken, and pork that is responsibly raised. What I'm trying to express to you here, folks, that the food at Blue Apron is really, really good.
Even the animals like getting killed, yeah.
Go to blueapron.com/official.
And also shop at Blue Apron because they are a very tasty and affordable option. Dyrus, as a man who's eaten food before, let me ask you a question. Do you like eating?
Yeah.
He nearly burnt his house. I assume you would really like Blue Apron.
Do you like having things given to you?
Oh, I order delivery all the time.
Exactly. So if you had fresh ingredients delivered straight to your door, you would call it a win-win.
Yeah.
Dyrus, when you set that microwave to 40 minutes, the universe knew it was providence. It was an act of providence because that's how long it takes for Blue Apron, for you to make a Blue Apron meal.
Ooh.
Instead, you nearly killed people.
Or less. The adjacent or less. He might not have even needed all that murder time.
You could have been eating a delicious meal rather than, I don't know, eating a piece of charcoal.
Jackson, why don't you wrap us all up in a nice, convenient apron, because we're getting all over the place with our enthusiasm.
Wrap us up in a nice apron, all right?
Give us a good.
So we can check out this week's menu and get your first three meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/official. You'll love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. So don't wait. That's blueapron.com/official.
All right, well, actually, there's a question I've been wanting to ask. So, Dyrus, you've done streaming for a long time, and you've been in the competitive scene, and you've played other games as well, but what do you prefer doing? Do you prefer the atmosphere of being in a competitive environment and competing for the grand prize, the glory, or do you prefer just kind of kicking back, playing solo queue, streaming, and maybe streaming other games as well?
I have mixed feelings about both because there was a time where I really, really enjoyed competitive play. And as time went on, I just felt burnt out on competitive play, trying to work hard with my teammates to, you know, do our best. And then in solo queue, it's like, it's more relaxing, but at the same time, I get a bunch of idiots on my team half of the games. No, but it's still more relaxing, so... I mean, I prefer being more relaxed right now because I don't have the same drive I used to.
If not League of Legends, is there any other game that you could have seen yourself reaching that same level of proficiency with?
I wouldn't know because the only reason why I felt like I got really good at League was because I enjoyed it and I played it from the start. I think if I played any other game, if it's already been out, it's really hard to catch up. But for League, it just kind of clicked with me. I don't think I would have been able to go pro in many other games. I think the closest that I could have gotten was Overwatch, because I played Overwatch since the start when it was in closed beta, and I got to like top 500 on two accounts for two seasons in a row. So I was I was getting offers to join pro teams at the start and do stuff like that, but I don't want to do that because my fan base is League, and so if I play Overwatch, then I'm basically abandoning them, yeah. I basically abandoned them. I didn't want to do that.
Do you feel locked into playing League for the rest of your life, and does that scare you at all?
It's something I've thought about for a long time, and I've decided that I wanted to try and do other games on stream and such, but as time went on, I was like, all right, League's still kind of the hot thing right now for me, and I should do it as long as possible for as many, like all the people that want to watch me do it. And when it finally dies one day, I'll make the conscious choice to switch to another game. Ultimately, I'm going to want to play the game I enjoy the most. And I've been playing video games all my life, so I think I'm a pretty good judge of if a game is like super fun or not, for like at least for the genres of games that I've played. I mean, not all video games, but just like for the specific amount of games I've played, if I have fun, I think that other people would enjoy it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that
makes sense. Are there any games that have come out recently that you've enjoyed? Not like to stream or anything like that, or get pro at, but like what's been your most recent favorite game?
That's funny. It's actually been a PUBG. I've been playing it with my friends and stuff. And the owner of TSM, Reggie, we play PUBG together like all the time. I mean, not so much recently, because I've played another game called Foxhole, which is like a war simulator game.
Oh, yeah, I did play a few rounds of that.
Yeah, cool. It's the only problem with it is it's a time sink, so it just takes forever to win a game. And you can't do anything alone as efficiently. Yeah. You just work together with other people. So, I mean, there hasn't been a lot of games for me that has really caught my eye yet. I'm still kind of waiting on game developers to make this super insane game to blow all these current games out of the water, because I feel like that, like the evolution of gaming for like what new games are, is kind of like come to a halt. Cause I feel like companies are just like, just this series and then add a 2 to it. And all it is just like a couple of new characters and reworked graphics and a couple of new things. And they just call it Number 2. And it's just like, this is almost the same game, you know?
That is my favorite game, Number 2. I loved it.
Well, let's take League of Legends, for example. Let's say, you know, the old League graphics compared to nowadays. What if they called the old League of Legends like just League of Legends 1, then today's like League of Legends 2, but it's basically the same game? The thing about League is, and why it's so popular, is because they always update it, and the game's always changing. But for a lot of games nowadays, they don't really... It just feels like we're not really going farther into the future, other than, I guess, virtual reality. But that's even at the start of wherever it is. So that's
kind of also fizzling. There's not much like investments being made in that field anymore.
Other than you.
Jackson's keeping that whole entire industry afloat with his 3 a.m. purchases.
So, Dyrus, I have a question that maybe for me is, I'm the only one who's going to find this as a burning, passionate thing to learn about. What is the shtick and the direction and idea going into a team photo for a big League gaming event where everyone puts their backs to each other and folds their arms and looks super tough and cool, and there's all that dark, harsh lighting? Like, how are those treated among the community? Do people think they're really awesome ways to advertise themselves? Do they think they're a joke? Are they just mandated by the people who run the tournaments? Like, what goes on with those?
I think the idea is kind of to make it more and more similar to, you know, how in like wrestling, how they have the entrances and intro and all that stuff.
So you're admitting it's fake?
Well, I'm not saying it's all fake. I don't know for recently, but I know that for when they're taking photos of you, there's a guy that talks to you sometimes. I mean, it depends on the photographer. It's like, you would have to ask a different current pro player for this now, because they have like pictures of them like either flexing or making poses or random stuff like that. Yeah. But I recently was in like an like an Intel ad where for a photo shoot where they just want like the tough look and they're just trying to be super serious with like, if you don't have this product, then, or are you hardcore enough for this product or something?
Are you hardcore
like
enough to sign up for Blue Apron?
Yeah, that's what the ad was.
It's just like the cool, like, I mean, it's not, I think it depends on the person. As for me, I don't, I don't care too much about like whatever they want. I'm fine with doing. I don't feel very emotional about a lot of things. I'm kind of similar to my laziness and my voice.
I mean, because we've had minor touchings on this topic where it makes a lot more sense in a physical sport, such as like, I don't know, basketball or like you said, wrestling, where the people involved are usually physically intimidating or, you know, athletic and build or all that. And I'm just wondering what your personal thoughts on these kind of publicity photos is, where typically your lineup is not people, you know, like if they came at you like that, you wouldn't be like, oh, guys, don't hurt me. Here's my wallet. It's more just kind of
you struggling so hard to be polite.
I mean, at the end of the day, to a degree, it's silly. It's definitely silly to some degree. You know, it's not like cringeworthy. It's not awful, but there's definitely a layer of this is kind of funny to it. And I'm just wondering what your take on it is. You know what I mean?
I think it depends on the player, because let's say you take Faker, for example, if you know who that is, he has like the crossed arms and the look. He's like one of the best mid laners ever. Like, sure, if he comes at you in like a fist fight, of course, yeah, it's not going to be the same compared to like a super buff guy or super athletic physical pro from, I don't know,
look at this shit talking
football or the NBA.
I want to see you fight Faker now.
Yeah, Faker, if you're listening, he's calling you out.
Yeah, come on the podcast, I mean, and duke it out. We'll have an official wrestling match.
I mean, the point of it is that you look at them and I mean, you don't really look at them because they're just playing the character in the game. They're just like really, really good at it. And I mean, I mean, I'm just saying that's what it is. I don't know what else to say about it.
I think the question Andrew's trying to get at is, do you think maybe esports takes itself a bit too seriously?
Yeah, that's
in spite of it being so new.
That is a great way to take it. Yeah.
Do you think it would benefit from being a little more laid back? Like, let's show our professional athletes in the game here doing something more relatable or fun, you know, instead of like looking like they're ready for a fight.
And actually,
would it be better if esports was trying to be pro wrestling rather than the NBA?
Yeah, to addendum to that, that's that as well. And it's, do you think it's a good idea that they're copying after already established sports? Do you think the best way for them to get maybe more serious or bigger or more appealing is to go down this, you know, following the realm of wrestling and basketball and all their presentations?
Well, I think ultimately it's still a competition, and it's a competition that does strain you to your like mental limit. So while it may not be physically intimidating, if you ever have played a game against a pro player in League of Legends, they're just gonna, just like how you would get angry at the game for, you know, things go wrong, and like it depends how passionate you are about it, I feel like, because if you've ever played against a pro player, they just basically fuck your shit up. And I mean, for some people that can be rage inducing, for others it could be like, all right, well, he's just fucking insane and that's it. As for like which direction to take it, I honestly don't know. Like I'm not the person that decides, or I mean, as for how I think about it, I don't really care. People always argue about calling it like a sport or esports. Like,
no, it's definitely a sport. That shouldn't be argued. Yeah. It takes the same amount of time to master a video game as it would a sport. It should 100% be called a sport.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is that I just don't care as much.
Yeah, you don't give a shit about it one way or the other.
Well, for the most part, I don't care as much, because whether it gets big or not, I mean, I guess the game itself, if it gets bigger, it benefits me, but I'm not really a part of that scene. And I feel like that question's more directed towards the people that Yeah, I just don't. I wouldn't know what I was doing. Like, if I had to decide something like that, I don't really have much of an opinion, I guess.
That's totally fair. Now, with Oh, no, you're totally fine. I was just going to change gears here, because I keep up with most of the league stuff going on in the pro scene and stuff. I still do keep up with all of it. And I know recently there's been that drama about some of the pro players getting allegedly mistreated at one of their team houses and neglected by Riot staff and the higher-ups and shit like that. I'm not asking for an opinion on anything like that, but did you ever have to go through anything similar while you were in the pro scene? Was there any type of drama that
mistreated
the way the headlines on like the subreddit make it seem, it seemed like they're fucking frying them in ovens at their team house and shit.
Yeah, Charlie, the subreddit's going to make it seem like half the team became Nazis and the other half is starting a revolution in the basement.
Well, I know the subreddit isn't the best information, but just reading through all of the stuff and like the Riot official statements, I don't know how much of it is true or not, but the way they make it seems awful, as if people were getting their throats slit if they weren't performing well in their lanes.
I don't know, I mean, I know there's a tainted minds thing. I think that was pretty unacceptable on the organization's part. And there's a lot of bad orgs, but I've been on TSM my entire pro career, and TSM has always treated their players really well. And no one's pointing a gun at me or threatening me to say otherwise. It's just
is sponsored by TSM.
Every player that you see that has played with TSM league related, besides the ones that were, I guess, kicked off, they would all have good things to say about the organization. So I've never had to deal with anything bad, basically. As for like things that may have happened in terms of like events or like, let's say MLG hosts the event or Riot hosts the event, like anything that happens otherwise, that it wouldn't be related to the team. So it's just like factors that you can't control. That's probably the worst it gets.
That's fair. That's good that you haven't had to go through it, because you read about that in a lot of esports. Since it's so new, a lot of the developers and stuff think they can get away with certain things. Like in Smite, they hyped up $1 million prize pool and then they paid him like a piece of gum and some spit in the mouth and stuff like that.
Oh, really?
And then they asked for the gum back.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Jesus. Now, Dyrus, if we're... Charlie, did you have another one?
Oh, I was just going to ask another question. I'm full of questions on this shit, because I find it all really interesting. And ever since I was a kid, I wanted to be like the best at a game, but unfortunately, I'm pretty shit at most of the games I play.
Says the House of Caravan world record holder.
I'm glad you brought up that nice sore spot, because that record got absolutely fucking ass blasted a month and a half ago.
Well, that's motivation.
I can't beat that record. But the question I was going to ask is, circling back to the whole shit-talking thing, let's say Riot 100% endorsed shit-talk and they encouraged it at their events and you were still in the pro play, what would be the best shit-talk you could come up with for your opponents? Give us something here. Give us your best one-line insult that you would say to an opponent.
Well, it would depend, and I'm not really the hardest I go at people is just I just say things like they're bad or like they just fucking suck dick.
Going for
fuck, dude, calm
going
down.
Going for scalps, all right.
That's, I mean, and then well, I wouldn't really like go like harder unless I like really hated someone. Like I every time I shit talk unless they deserve it. It's just like, can't really think of anything good. And when people are like, why do you think they're bad? It's like, it's just facts. They just fucking say, you know, it's not, there's no, like any shit talk I've done through my pro career, it hasn't really been that hard because I just focus on myself.
That's probably a good thing, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, if it was encouraged, you'd probably, things would get pretty violent. I feel like if I was openly shit talked to, like even players that were in the scene, like not many people have like openly shit talked to me, but They usually kind of like passively aggressive type it, or fans do it. But I'm pretty sure if it was that kind of environment, I'd probably try to kill someone. So it's probably a good thing that it's not like
Jesus.
That.
Jesus.
So don't uncage the beast. Yeah.
I'm wow. just you hear that Faker? There. No, I mean, no, like most pro players are really, really nice. Not like there's just a couple, and some of them chit talk just to make it entertaining. But I think if Riot did do something like that, it would be, I guess, more entertaining, but more, I guess, dangerous, I feel like.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. I was just thinking more like, you know, how McGregor and Mayweather are hyping up all the ticket sales with shit talking. I would like to see that for League of Legends in the pro scene. I think that'd be really fun.
I would definitely see it in moderation, because if they trash talk all the time, that won't be as entertaining.
Oh, yeah, so. No, definitely not. I'm just talking about like the big ones, you know, the worlds, the splits and stuff.
Yeah, it's hard for me because I was competitive to win, but I've never been like, I've never really thought about that. I've only had enough room to think about myself to do my very best. And every time people do shit talk, it's always blown up in their face every single time.
Yeah.
There's so many memes and jokes made out of teams and players that have shit talked, and it just blows back at them even harder than ever. But some of them, they bob and weave and deal with it, and then they come back with more shit talk later, and those are the entertaining professional players. So yep.
So Dyrus, I have a question, and Jackson and Kaya have been messaging me out of chat constantly because they are just dying to get this question in too, since they've been so elaborately loud. So if we're getting into the nitty gritty and the darker sides of the whole the shit talking and all that, I want to know what your thoughts on drug use in the competitive gaming sport are, and by that I mean I am completely
used
Adderall, ADD,
Crocodile.
Meds.
Crocodile's a big one now.
Well, no, I'm being completely serious.
Yeah, do you use steroids?
No, Dyrus, I'm serious. Mm-hmm. I'm asking him. Well, he probably does. He's a big swole boy. But so from what I've read, and I could be completely and utterly wrong, and if I am, please tell me so. But there's apparently a huge amount within pro gaming circles of like Adderall and ADD. And any sort of mental enhancing shit getting passed around just to compete at the highest level possible. Is there any comments you have on that, or anything interesting you could bring in? Any insight?
Well, the closest thing I've heard about was that one of the players I played against, he smoked weed because it was too stressful for him. So he just smoked weed before the match. And that way he wouldn't be like losing his shit, because the game could be really stressful. That is the closest thing. Like, they're definitely
that fiend.
Did he? Yeah, that guy should burn in hell. But did he perform any better? Or,
well, he probably didn't. You know how Tilt is in League. It probably helps a little bit with that.
Right.
I mean, people think I smoke weed just because of my voice, but I don't really do anything at all. The closest thing that I've come to like anything making me more awake is like, I guess, an energy drink. Or, I mean, after I retired, I discovered coffee, and I was just devastated about that, because if I had coffee when I was pro, I'd probably be a lot better. Mm-hmm. But
those sleepless nights, damn, if only I knew the secret.
Who needs sleep when I can chug caffeine?
I mean, even like one cup of coffee would have saved me like efficient practice. But anyways, like I don't think that pro players should be taking drugs or anything like that. And I'm pretty sure there are people out there that do. It's just that I think it's wrong, and I hope that people just don't do it. I don't have any knowledge or information about people that do it. I just feel like if you're going to be in a competition, everything needs to be clean, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a level playing field.
Well,
yeah.
do you think that maybe could potentially unlock, like, I don't know, some secret mental barrier or something? Do you think the people who would take those meds would maybe actually have an advantage over their competition? Or?
Oh, yeah, for sure. No, there's no doubt about that. Reaction times and knowledge in the game. Like, you could give, like, a challenger player Adderall, but it won't make a difference against an LCS player because it's not only about the reaction times, it's also about the knowledge and positioning. You could have the best reactions in the world for League of Legends, but it won't always matter as much. For example, there's people at Script in League, like they pick Xerath and they don't miss a single skill shot. But even with that, there's just so many other factors. I think for other games, such as, you know, first person shooters like Counter-Strike, like taking Adderall to like move faster, like react faster, I think every little bit like counts when it comes to reaction times. I think people definitely get an advantage off of that. I don't see why they wouldn't. Like, I heard people in StarCraft take that to, you know, just be more focused, and, you know, they run at like what, 300 actions, 600 actions per minute or something.
It's superhuman. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Just basically
pro, like, StarCraft is watching something else, man.
And it's incredible.
Superhuman.
Yeah. And I know it gives you an advantage because, I mean, you can just compare the most basic example. Let's say you're going into a League of Legends game and you're feeling tired. Like, it's basically playing against someone who's tired compared to playing to someone who's awake. It's like three different levels, like sleepy, normal, and someone's just fucking jacked up. And will put, like, someone who's jacked up on that stuff who plays against someone who's just, like, you know, normal and awake and concentrated, they're gonna just seem slower than the guy who's just like freaking out of his mind with Adderall. Now, I mean, I could be wrong. That's just what makes sense to me, like common sense, if people did do that. But I feel like people would have an advantage if that was the case.
I especially think with the devil's lettuce, the marijuana, the weeds and stuff, I definitely think in a competitive environment that'd be a huge advantage, because you'd be a lot more laid back. If something goes wrong, you wouldn't, as you said, get tilted off it. So I can 100%.
Yeah, you'd also be a lot cooler, and everyone there would like you more.
The other factor is if you're playing with teammates and they, let's say you get more mad at them faster because you're concentrating and you're, you know, like it can backfire too in a team environment for sure. So, I mean, there's just so many different factors.
Taking it out of esports for just a moment, I could not be the only person who actually wants to see drugs in sports.
I would love to
see people jacked up beyond human limits with the latest technology we got. I want CRISPR to be used to create Ubermenschen
that would then
be pitted against each other on the fields.
I want to watch baseball, but with exoskeletons. So, like, when they hit home runs, they go like 1,000 feet in the air, but then the outfielders jump that high and catch it and rocket it back down. I think it'd be amazing.
Exactly. Like, I think there should at least be a separate league. Like, I understand that people enjoy it also for the integrity of the whole thing, where, you know, they will root for the best athlete who got it by his own sweat of his own brow. But a separate league where they just got enhanced by machines or some genetic engineering, it would be cool. I just want to see balls flying over my head, just burning as I enter the atmosphere.
God, that'd be so amazing. I thought about that exact same thing before when I was in college. We were talking about that. Someone else brought that up, and I thought that was the coolest fucking idea. If you just had the absolute best in modern steroids technology, nanotechnology and shit, enhance these human beings and put them against each other. That is definitely, definitely something I would love to see.
Exactly. I mean, some nations already do that. Like, Russia keeps getting caught in almost every Olympic Games.
That's true.
It comes out they've been doping their national team for decades. So why not just unleash them? Why not just go, hey, looks like you guys are good at this. Yeah. Let's just get rid of all the regulations. Let's turn your athletes into monsters and let them fight.
God,
I'm sure it would be super entertaining. But you already know how people would feel about that.
Oh, yeah, it would not go over well. But my God, would that make for some great entertainment?
No, yeah, that's why you should have the separate leagues.
Yeah. What would you call it? What name would you give it?
I have no idea.
I'd give it something comically stupid, like the Super Duper League of Kaijus squaring off or something.
I'd call it Cool Ball. It's like baseball, but cool.
It could bring back the extreme convention. You guys remember that?
Oh,
like
man.
In the 90s where everything used to be extreme.
Do not bring back my love of slam ball on this podcast. You'll regret it.
Oh my God, slam ball.
Slam ball was the fucking greatest. I watched it every day.
Dude, slam ball.
Is that basketball with trampolines?
Yes, yeah. It is basketball with trampolines.
It was so awesome.
It was
the
best.
Did you see the injury highlights where, like, the dude, I think the one that eventually got it taken off air, where the dude came down and his, like, ankle popped out of his skin?
No, I watched the actual sport.
Oh, yeah, well,
Now that you said trampolines, though, that would also be your cool enhancements, changing the fields up a little, snake pits and all that.
I
equate snake pits to trampolines.
Ever since when I was a boy, I read Battle Royale. I have always wanted to somehow find a way to have death games be a reality. Yeah. I would love to see, just like, instead of American Idol, it's like, tonight on Fighting Island, and like every week, 100 new people.
We drop 12 pedophiles off onto an island.
No, oh my God. Oh, that would be so cool.
No, but like, I just want it. I want to be able to enter it, though, and not.
Why
so
would you
want
to go to? Why would you want to go to Fighting Island?
Because, like, I want to find a way to do it without actually dying.
Well, then that ruins the integrity of the sport.
That's the problem. That's what I'm saying. I can't think of a way to rightfully do it. On one hand, you have the thrill of death, but on the other hand, it's like you don't want to be in it.
Well, how about I can solve this for you, Andrew? You have Fighting Island, and you don't go to it. You watch it.
But I want to be in it because it seems.
He wants the fame and glory.
If you could, like, replace the death aspect with, I don't know, like airsoft or something, I want
to
do that.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure that'd be huge. Yeah, that'd be great. All right, go back to
eighth
grade.
Well, that's why I'm fucking saying that it's a problem and impossibility.
Why don't you just go do paintball?
I'm not like saying, oh, this will be so great, everyone watch it. I'm saying there's a problem with the system where we can't have it in reality.
What system are you talking about?
I want you to name
right now. He's talking
about
reality. You're talking about wanting to, the fear of death without actual death. Then there won't be any fear.
Okay, I want you to right now, in current modern day, say how we could make a show like that.
So Andrew, you come to me. I'm the agency that arranges this battle royale. I make you sign a waiver. We tell you, hey, we're not really going to kill you, but it's going to look like it. And then we inject you with some amnesia drug, and you're going to forget you even signed that stuff and that it's not really lethal. And then we just put you on the island, and you think it's going to kill you.
Do you really think that would work?
I think it could work.
Damn, holy shit, that'd be interesting. But
if you want to go back to being pro in something, Dyrus, this might be it.
Yeah.
Talk to Kai, he's got ideas here.
talk to him right now anyway. You're not going to remember it in like in an hour, so just do it.
We need all the weed we could get for that one.
Kai, you really, I don't think that would work in any concept.
I think it would. I think you would get shot in the head. Well, not maybe... Well, after you get shot, not. But as you're being shot at,
so,
you'd be shitting
Kaya,
your pants.
Kaya, you know what happens.
And then you'd wake up in a hospital, and I'd go, "Hey, you remember me?"
Kaya, you know what happens to completely ruin your theory? I go on Twitter and I go, "Hey, everyone, I'm going to be on Fighting Island. Watch me at this time on NBC."
We're going to
do this, and then I get shot in the fucking head, and everyone goes, "Why didn't Andrew come back from Fighting Island?"
You do that leading up to it. Yeah, as you step into the helicopter, I go, "Okay. Well, you know what comes now? We give you the amnesia shot that we somehow developed."
Right, and then everyone I told before going on wonders why I never come home.
Andrew, do the people in the Big Brother house have communications to the outside? They don't.
No,
right?
But when the show's over, their welcoming family gives them a hug and says, "We're sorry you didn't win."
That's the point. I don't know what you're missing here.
Okay, so Fighting Island, the entire point is that it's a death game, right?
Yeah.
Well, not in your world.
But
it's
not really.
Airsoft for adults.
Okay, no. So Kai is purporting that it's real, but they lie about it, right?
No, it's not real. I'm saying it's not real. It is paintball, but you think it's real.
Oh, okay. I thought you were actually murdering people and just telling them they weren't. You weren't.
Just telling them they didn't die.
Yeah.
You're not dead, I swear to God.
All right.
No. You come to me, I tell you... You just sign up for our reality TV game show.
Mm-hmm.
None of this is lethal. If you get shot, you don't really die. It just knocks you out and you're out of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And then I inject you with the amnesia drug and you forget I told you that.
Okay, that sounds amazing.
Until you get shot out.
Okay,
yeah,
fantastic. Where do I sign
up? Copyrighted under the official
brand. I'm absolutely
brand.
Up for trying that. That sounds wonderful.
That is $1 million idea.
I'd be scared shitless.
It has been done.
Probably kill myself, but... Yeah, there'd be a lot of liability there. What if someone jumps off a cliff to escape the horrors?
Well, it was in the waiver, but yeah, they forgot.
We'd
they
have to
it.
Make it like Westworld, where the guns don't work against the guests.
Somehow. Right. So you can only shoot each other, but not yourself with it.
Yeah, I mean, you can still shoot yourself, but it's not going to actually kill you, is what I'm trying to say. If you jump off a cliff, however, I don't know. I guess that's what the waiver is for.
Yeah, I mean, everything can be made out of foam and jello.
Yeah.
So fighting Jello Island.
Yeah.
Where you have to eat your way to victory.
Yeah. That's how we do it.
Jairus, do you have any ideas for fun game shows for the whole family?
I'm not a very creative person.
This is the pinnacle of creativity.
Yeah.
Yeah. The island where you kill each other.
Yeah, that's as creative as it gets.
He just wants to be on the
Although,
island.
Although, Kaya, have you seen Solitary?
No.
The game show where they lock people in a singular room for like a year and they compete in contest. It's incredible. I love it. I think you would like it a lot.
Jail.
Exact opposite of what Kaya was pitching.
No, but I'm saying it's a similar idea.
It just
where
sounds like Big Brother.
It's fake, but they try to make it feel real. Dyrus, on to the next important question. Have you heard Charlie's joke?
Oh, Lord.
No.
Fuck.
Tell it.
Oh, Lord. All right. Well, it's kind of become a tradition around these parts. I developed one of perhaps the most potent jokes in all of comedy. It's almost impossible to at least not elicit a hearty belly laugh. So brace yourself, Dyrus. You're gonna be slapping that knee real hard. And it's a true story too. It sounds like it's some made up sci-fi, but this is a real thing that happened to me.
Makes it funnier.
It's wild. It's just wild.
Okay.
All right. So this was about like probably 8 months ago now, and I was driving down this road called I-4. It's the interstate. Pretty popular road actually. It sees a lot of traffic quite often. A lot of traffic jams. And I was cruising down this road, going the speed limit. I'm not quite rebellious enough to go above that. And as I was driving down I-4, I saw this sign for a restaurant. Nothing particularly special about it, just a standard old restaurant. It was called Boardwalk Burgers. Not too interesting of a name, really. Just, you know, wholesome family diners, homeless people slapping some patties on the foremans. Just a good time, really. And with my razor-sharp wit, I saw that sign. And I said, Boardwalk Burgers... More like board burgers, because those burgers aren't having any fun.
I think he gave you a kiss.
It took me a while to get that one, actually.
Oh, thank God. See, it's a thinking man's joke, yeah.
Yeah. I'm not the fastest person, so...
No, trust me, you got it a lot quicker than some other people. Some people didn't even laugh at all. They just didn't understand it.
Yeah, I tried really hard to think on that one. I didn't want to be that one of those people.
I imagine once it hit them, like, oh, bored. Oh, I get it. And they probably laughed real hard off the episode.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Jesus.
Yeah. The magnum opus of comedy.
You know, how I feel about that joke is kind of like... I mean, you might have heard this one before, but let me hit you with
a
thinking question, because I feel like it's one of these questions. So, Charlie, imagine you're inside of a metal box. You have a glass of water. How do you get out?
I don't know. It just kind of sounds like my apartment right now. I'm trying to get out.
I think I know the answer, but I won't
drown yourself.
Crack at it unless he wants me to.
Yeah, until he gives up.
All right, Charlie, announce it when you're done.
I don't know if I'm going to figure it out.
Show your working
It's pretty out. Easy.
All right, take it, Andrew.
All right, Dyrus, is the answer open the box?
No.
Fuck.
He was so confident.
Ah, thought I tricked you.
What's the answer?
So everyone's ready for the answer?
I think so, yeah.
I think.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's stupid. You just stop imagining.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, that's how I felt about your burger question. You just kind of distract me from the original joke.
I mean, you don't have
with
to
the glass
much
of water.
I like the entire red herring of a glass of water. It had no purpose being there.
Yeah, I'm not trying to insult your joke. I'm just saying it was that cash joke. And a lot of people fall for it. Like, it's so many. You could ask anyone. I mean, unless they heard it before, most people will fall for that.
That's just pretty clever, yeah.
Yeah, it's just like one of those jokes where it's like a plane crashes in between a certain, like both borders where they bury the survivors. And then I'm sure if you heard that joke before, right?
No, it sounds more like a riddle.
Yeah, a riddle.
I heard it in elementary school.
Where did they bury them?
In a cemetery?
Are you guys serious?
I don't know where
they're fucking kidding me.
Where they're from?
Where their bodies unrecoverable?
Tyrus, do you want to?
You can go ahead. You don't bury survivors, you idiots.
Oh my god!
Literally heard that joke in first grade and remembered it to this day.
Well, it made an impact, I guess.
Well, he probably told it to me. He was on my playground. Little did I know, little baby Tyrus on the sandbox told me that. It was fate.
Well, fuck. I guess I am not smarter than a first grader.
That show is deceptively hard.
Well, it's fifth grader. Yeah, that's a lot better. Jeff Foxworthy's a weirdo. If you're watching this, Jeff Foxworthy, come on here and defend yourself.
And prove if we're smarter than fifth graders.
Quiz us.
Bring first graders on as well.
No, Jackson, we can't say that.
All right. Only fifth graders.
Much better.
Kai, have you been spoken 18 minutes? What's on your mind?
The episode on SpongeBob with Squidward where they get the box.
That's a good episode.
Yeah. Just, it's pretty much all I've been thinking about since the box question. At first, I thought it was a reference to that.
Robot Pirate Island.
Oh, man. Classic SpongeBob is absolutely fantastic. That can bring us to a question. Dyrus, is there any childhood cartoon or anything from your childhood that you still believe or still feel still very passionate still feel very passionately about?
I mean, I've watched a lot of cartoons. I just like a lot of them, and SpongeBob was one of them.
Mm-hmm.
That's always a good choice.
Yeah, because there's like Dexter's Lab, Johnny Bravo, Ed, and Eddie, Tom and Jerry, you know, the stuff with Bugs Bunny, all kinds of stuff. Unless you want to start counting anime like Dragon Ball Z, I guess that was part of my childhood.
We don't count anime around here.
Okay, all right. Well,
that's for weebs.
We're big, yeah, strong men here.
I don't think that many people watch Dragon Ball Z anyway.
Yeah, we eat pussy and kick ass around here. We don't watch none of those foreign cartoons.
Okay.
But speaking
how many
of,
vaginas have you seen?
How many?
Let's put them on the leaderboard.
You don't have to answer that question, Jackson. Just asking about pussy appearances.
I don't know.
Come on, guys.
I've never seen one of the flesh.
Let's get serious. How many asses have you kicked?
He's asking.
What's that rustling noise?
I'm sorry. I didn't know you could hear that.
It sounded like a tumbleweed.
No, it's. I have to make pee pee come out of my wiener really badly, but I'm holding it in. So I'm fidgeting now.
That's what that noise is?
Well, no, it's not me actually holding in the urine.
Yeah, do you have tinfoil legs? What the fuck?
Well, the point I was gonna say is, out of all the cartoons that we watched from our childhood, I think the one that aged the best is probably Johnny Bravo.
I love it.
Aged the best?
Aged the best?
This is a whole debate we could have.
Yeah, we'll probably have to save that for...
That's a whole discussion.
Yeah, we'll save that for when we don't want to embarrass ourselves, I guess.
Yeah, when we don't have a literal League of Legends pro on our fucking podcast.
Well, now he's just a big old streaming pro.
Yeah.
I'm just another dude.
A has-been.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, it's hugely successful, popular, talented, well-received, well-liked, and overall good guy has-been.
And on that note, I think it's important that we go back to one of our first questions for one of the first times we ever had a guest on here, and I think it's important that we make our way back to this one. Dyrus, is there any interesting masturbatory tales you can tell us? Anything interesting happened during a masturbatory event in your life?
What does masturbatory mean?
Like
when you touch your wee-wee and it goes hard and then stuff comes out if you're lucky.
Yeah, you have to. There's a big old procedure you got to follow for that stuff to come out.
I mean, not that I. Are you talking about like the first time I masturbated or something, or
anything crazy?
Is there any like shared secrets when you live in a team house or anything in that sense?
Oh, do you jack off? Do you jack off to League of Legends Rule 34?
That's a good question.
Was that a good question?
Because he likes League of Legends, therefore we have to ask it, Charlie.
No, it doesn't. Let him answer. It's not my thing. I mean, I'm sure a lot of people do, but that's not me. Like, I don't.
So which champion in League of Legends
what is you?
Well, yeah, what is you?
Don't overload the question here. Tell us the first time you masturbated. Then I think that could make for an interesting. One. We've all shared our first experience.
Chances are he's going to be very young.
Come back to like be a meme or like troll question for me from other people.
No, please. We asked literally everyone this. We're not fucking with you.
Did everyone answer?
Oh yeah, enthusiastically. In fact, you're taking the longest out of every guest.
PewDiePie talked about jerking off a dog or something.
That is completely true. True.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'll just say, I guess third grade. So.
Wow, is that early? That seems
like it's a little early. Yeah,
I didn't start till I was like time.
No, I didn't start till I was like 19.
I was 5 feet tall in third grade, so I think I grew fast. I don't know. I don't fucking know.
The masturbatory game chose you.
You were
actually never
it.
Mind. I'm sorry. It was fourth grade. Sorry, I just thought it was third grade.
You fucking liar.
Wow. You know, I thought you were cool with third grade, but now you're just a late fourth grade bloomer.
Late bloomer over here.
Oh, God.
It was like one of those things where it's like, you didn't do it a lot. It's just like, you're like, what the fuck am I doing? You know? Just saying that's when it all started. That's all.
Do you remember the specific video? Was it a video? A teacher, perhaps. What was the catalyst?
Oh, it was
Jesus Christ, Charlie. Ask him how he found his wiener while you're at it.
Yeah, now you're just like a priest. God damn. God, I already said it was third grade. Just leave the kid be.
So it was one of the girls in my class, but it was like one of those things where do you remember those like commercial breaks where it's like the three girls and it's like Charlie's Angels or something.
Oh,
you know
yeah.
what I'm talking
yeah,
about?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Totally they, Spies, was, right?
Yeah, Totally Spies.
It was something. It was when they would swing their hips back and forth, and then I just pictured that girl doing it. So that, yeah, that's it.
That'll get the best of you. Many a first masturbatory event came from those Totally Spies, I imagine.
Well, that show is literally just thinly veiled fetish material. So, yes.
I've never watched that show, by the way. I've just seen the fucking commercial. Like, it just commercials fucking everywhere. It's just I hate commercials.
That's fair. Yeah,
you jacked off to one though.
I watched that show religiously.
I wasn't a huge fan of it.
It's a terrible fucking show. It's really bad.
I liked it.
I mean, you can like it, but it's still bad.
Okay.
Just like League of Legends.
It's a love-hate thing for me.
Exactly.
I can't really... I mean, I love it because I enjoyed playing... One time I played League for 3 days straight in closed beta. That's how addicted I was to
Jesus.
It. And then... I mean, I also hate it because you already know why. But it's hard to hate because it made my career, so...
Yeah, I mean, it definitely put you on a very successful path, so it's certainly worked out for you. Whereas Kai and I, we must have put like 150 hours in there and we never even got past silver together.
Well, I've actually watched your videos before I was like a League player.
Oh, I appreciate that, man.
Wow, so he's nostalgic for you, huh?
Yeah, I remember, I was just browsing YouTube and one day it's just like, I like this guy's voice and he's also really funny. And so I went like on a marathon spree of watching your videos and it just helped me with stress with everything in my life.
I appreciate that, man. Thanks for the kind words.
That's nice.
That's really sweet.
So
it's probably the most wholesome moment that's happened in this show's history.
Yeah, because usually it is about like poopy and ball sacks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Literally every other guest is like, I jack off to your videos nightly, man.
God.
Just lather myself up and go to town.
A little fun fact, a couple of our guests have actually come on the show with masturbatory tales prepared.
Yeah.
That's how ingrained in this the soul of this show it is.
It's so ingrained we use the term masturbatory.
We're getting professional about it, Andrew.
Exactly. So, Darius, I think we've tortured you long enough. We've probably run long enough, unless anyone has any objections. Do you have any questions for us? Do you have any final thoughts? Do you have anything that you personally want to say right now?
Everything I've wanted to say, I've pretty much gotten out. I'm not a very good person when it comes to questions and stuff. I'm kind of just thinking, or not thinking. I'm just there.
You did great this episode with answering stuff. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed all your answers.
We were all building up to that masturbation story, and you fucking nailed it, kid. You have potential.
Buttering him up.
Well, that's good. I'm just the kind of person when I get asked the question, since I used to be more socially awkward, when people would come up to me and ask me questions, I would be excited too, because I just wouldn't have anything to talk about. And so I just kind of ramble on in my answers usually. So I'm glad.
Mm-hmm.
Well, do you want to shout anything out?
Yeah, is there anything you want to plug?
Yeah, right.
Any upcoming projects or just anything at all?
Not really. I mean, thanks for having me, and everyone who's watched up to this point, thank you guys for watching.
That is so sweet.
Thanks for coming on, man.
Yeah, we'll help you out there. So that's Big Man Dyrus on Twitter, The Flabbing Dyrus on YouTube. I think on Twitch you're Die for Dyrus, or did you change it for Diddly Dyrus?
it's just Wait, are you being serious?
Yeah, shout your Twitch out, man.
I don't know. Do you know your own Twitch name?
All right. It's TSM_Dyrus.
There you go.
There we go.
We like to get at least one shout out from all of our guests in some way.
Okay. Yeah.
Thank you, Dyrus, for coming on. Thank you for spending the hour with us. We appreciate it.
Yep.
And thank you to everyone else who showed up and watched this episode. We appreciate all of you as well. There'll be links in the description to a lot of different places that you can check out. Thanks for watching.
Bye,
see you next week.
Alrighty, goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.